the sports betting landscape from coast to coast. This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back in. It is hour number three, Betting Across America, as we welcome you back downtown Las Vegas at our Circa Sportsbook Studios, tracking all the college football action. I'm Ben Wilson. Thanks as well to our entire crew, led by Jacob Roach, our producer. We've got Brian Ortega, Jeff Jens, Michelle Delgadillo, Andrew Ingold, Des Schultz. I don't know if I missed anybody, but we got a lot of people here on a busy college football Saturday. You know, a lot of updates to get to as well. We'll bring back Wes Reynolds here in a second. Oklahoma, though, the potential for what would be the upset of the college football season, laying 38.5. We've seen a couple teams as 30-point favorites lose outright this year, but not on the magnitude of Oklahoma, who is undefeated and ranked third in the country. They go down, though, 10-0 at halftime, but they have scored to make it 10-7. Just looking at it, Caleb Williams able to find Jaden Hazelwood, his wide receiver, for a touchdown. So 10-7. All right, we'll see if KU can hang on. There's a lot of games still to go. They're only about 5 minutes into the third quarter. This was a game where KU was a 24.5-point first-half underdog and not only covered but obviously won that outright 10-0. As for the live number, you're now in this spot. Look, last time we checked, it was Oklahoma laying 18.5 live. We'll see where this repopulates. Oklahoma was laying the 18 for the second half, down by 10. I'm not sure if it's gone all the way back up, though, to 18.5, Wes. We'll get that look in a moment. But at least if you're a Sooner backer, you're not going to cover the 38.5, certainly. Yeah. But at least there's some signs of life. And I know a lot of people, as you alluded to, Wes, were taking some shots on that second half line.
Sooners now minus 8.5 for the in-game 38.5 at BetMGM.
There we go. All right. So we got it there. Meanwhile, the one that we just finished talking, buy, sell, hold, you know, the whole conversation could kind of be a relative moot point if Wake Forest doesn't actually win the game at Army. You touched on it earlier, Wes. Army down to its backup quarterback after an injury earlier. Jabari Law is just 3 of 4 for 14 yards. We know that's not really Army's game anyway, as a predominant running team, but they found a way to tie the game. It's now 28-all. We're 3 minutes into the third quarter. This game is already, Wes, over the pregame total, and live I'm seeing 80.5. You want any part of that right now?
Yeah, I don't know if I want the under based on what these teams are doing offensively. I know Army can run clock, obviously, if that triple option, but this Wake Forest defense, look, we talked about it in the open. They gave up a ton of yards on the ground, like 350-plus on the ground to Syracuse a couple weeks ago. Right now, Wake and Army tied at 28. Wake minus 3.5 on the in-game, 79.5 the current total.
And Michigan finds the end zone with running back Blake Corum. So with the PAT coming, 17-7. Michigan as a large favorite. I know that's a sweat for you, Wes. Hopefully not too much of a sweat as we get into the second half with Michigan laying 23.5 at home against Northwestern. All right, let's turn to, again, looking at some of these candidates a little deeper down the Heisman boards, but ones that do bear looking at in this segment of Heisman Watch. And we will, we've seen some of these running backs move up the board. We're seeing one of these guys we're going to talk about currently in play right now. I want to get your thoughts, though, on Desmond Ridder, the Cincinnati quarterback, though, Wes. That's where we'll start this segment of Heisman Watch. He's seen his odds come as short as 15-1, at least in some of the shops, but now back up to 20-1, despite really good numbers this year. It has been a relative struggle today for him and the Cincinnati Bearcats as a whole. Right now, Wes, just 12 of 21, 141 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. For a guy who, as you mentioned this earlier, like the only case he has is if his team goes undefeated. Mm-hmm. The pressure ratchets up every week. The lines have gotten higher on Cincinnati every week. How have you kind of analyzed his game as we've seen his stock really rise now over the last few weeks?
Well, and honestly, it hasn't risen that much over the last couple because it's been pretty stagnant at 20-1. We sat here last Saturday, it was 20-1. Not really seeing much of a switch because Desmond Ridder really does not put up huge numbers. And his only saving grace, though, is if this team is undefeated, that maybe his ceiling is going to be that he could be a finalist. And we're going to have Dave Miller at the back end of this program here, and he is a Heisman voter. So, you know, we've been talking to a couple other different people, a couple other different experts, Pete Futak, Matt Hayes, and the like, that are voters for the Heisman Trophy Award. And Ridder, it almost seems like, okay, if his team's undefeated and Cincinnati's in that mix for the playoff, that he's going to get an invite and a free trip to New York. But does he really have enough to win the award? And that's kind of what concerns you about that. And you really haven't seen a big adjustment in the price. 20-1, I think, you know, early in the season, he was in the 30s, in the 40s. So there's been a little adjustment, but there hasn't been that second adjustment like you've seen with the Matt Corral, like you've seen with perhaps even CJ Stroud, although he was a little bit shorter to start the season. So people just aren't getting there with Desmond Ridder just yet. And I mean, just by the nature of being there, I guess, 20-1, you know, that would look like kind of an impressive price where it's like, okay, there's value here, but that's really where he should be, is 20-1, because he just doesn't have those numbers that Young or Corral or CJ Stroud. I mean, this Ohio State team that if they're kind of have an off day offensively, still going to score around 40 points. So Cincinnati really doesn't have that. And plus, obviously, the quality of competition is going to be taken into consideration. The only ranked team left on Cincinnati's schedule is going to be SMU. And by the way, Navy does go for it on 4th and 4. UC gets a stop. 9:06 left to go. We're still where we started at the half. 13-10 Cincinnati.
And you think about, too, it's a really interesting point as well, because you have some of these guys that, and there's a reason why the odds are what they are. One is, all right, guy on an undefeated team, but the numbers don't totally wow you in the case of Desmond Ridder for Cincinnati. But how about a guy like Bijan Robinson, who's another guy at 20-1? Stats are amazing. Media hype, you could make the argument, maybe a little overblown in the media hype this season, Wes. And you know, partly it's Texas. It's a big time school that the media loves to talk about. But at the same time, that's a team that has struggled and is on a bye this week. But it's kind of funny how you have two guys at 20-1. The resumes could not be more polar opposites. One guy who's putting up great numbers on a pretty mediocre team, another guy who's leading a really good team, but the numbers don't exactly back it up in Ridder. So I'm curious to think, where do you think Robinson's odds end up going, especially now that Texas is really out of any conversation for a top bowl or any sort of playoff consideration?
I certainly don't see him dropping here, because look, they're going to get they still get Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas, West Virginia, Kansas State as of right now. Only one ranked team on that schedule, that being Baylor. Iowa State certainly will change that today if they go ahead and beat an undefeated Oklahoma State team. But I don't think I could get there with Robinson when you have other running backs. If you're going to look at a running back, when you have not only Kenneth Walker, we talked about, even though I think he should be a little higher than 14-1, Kenneth Walker is going to get to play against Michigan, is going to get to play against Ohio State, is going to get to play against Penn State. So he still has a chance in some high showcase games, as long as Michigan State is still undefeated or within one loss, that they're going to have a lot of eyeballs on those games. You also have Travion Henderson from Ohio State at 40-1. One of the reasons why he hasn't gone down is because, you know, it's kind of a guilt of being on such a great team like Ohio State, because they have so many weapons. And that might be what penalizes CJ Stroud a little bit, where it kind of falls into that Mac Jones at Alabama syndrome last year. It's like, oh my God, he's got all these pros, you know, all these NFL draft choices at receiver. This is an easy offense to run. These guys are like wide open every play, you know, like CJ Stroud has. Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and you also have the backup running back, Master Teague. So Henderson is kind of in that, where Ohio State is just so damn loaded offensively that it's almost like you're splitting votes if you have multiple offensive players from one team. I kind of think Devontae Smith got a little bit of the benefit of the doubt last year because he had such a great season. Jaylen Waddle went down with that ankle injury. So voters were willing to kind of, you know, skirt a little bit, because maybe they underappreciated Mac Jones, because like, well, Tua ran this offense, you know, this offense just easy to run. And because Mac Jones was like a three-star kid and wasn't really as highly touted of a recruit as like a Tua or Jalen Hurts or somebody like that. So that obviously, I think, plays into the individual voter bias for this award.
Yeah, it's like 40-1. Don't bother, I would say, at that point, that far down the board. As far as, speaking of the Big Ten, we do the segment on our primetime action show at Arizona MSG Plus here on VSiN, 7-10 Eastern, Monday through Friday. Do the fruit basket segment they do every Monday, you know, sending the fruit basket out to guys who individually help them win bets. Wes, I think an early candidate for you, Evan Hull, might be deserving of a fruit basket for you. The Northwestern running back who basically is single-handedly keeping the Wildcats in this game. He had a 75-yard rushing touchdown when the Wildcats had not done anything at the Big House against Michigan to make it a 10-7 game. Michigan, as we mentioned, just scored to go up 17-7. Northwestern pinned with 3rd and 17 inside their own 10, and they throw a little, you know, dump off, you know, whatever, screen pass to Hull. Just chugging his way, picks up 20 in a first down, and all of a sudden Northwestern's got the ball in Michigan territory, and 9 minutes to go third quarter. This is amazing.
And you know, Northwestern always seems to kind of have one of those bull type of running backs.
He's
those
like 5'6".
Guys that don't look like they're going to be fast, but got some giddy up in them more than meets the eye. And look, Northwestern had a guy like that. They had Isaiah Bowser, who is now transferred to University of Central Florida, who, by the way, got a nice win over Memphis last night.
Yes, he did.
But, you know, Northwestern just kind of hanging around here. 9:02 left to go, 17-7. I took 24 on this game. The stats have said Michigan has dominated. 316 yards, 21 first downs, only 159 in the yardage for Northwestern, only 6 first downs. Yet this is only a 2-possession game here. They are going to get a penalty. It looks like pass interference. So Northwestern is driving. No in play right now at BetMGM. That's been taken off the board. I think they're going to wait for the result of this penalty.
I'm seeing one hanging a 13.5 alive. I think that was offensive. Defensive. It looked like a blatant push off by Northwestern. But yeah, so Wildcats into the red zone there. One quick update before we hit a break as well. Cincinnati, they have scored to make it now 20-10 at Navy. And here's a huge play. 4th and goal. Kansas at the 1, and they punch it in. 1:50 to go in the third quarter. Your 30.5 point home underdogs, Wes, are now back up 2 scores.
Oklahoma's going to have to fight here to get out of Lawrence with a win, because they likely are going to the fourth quarter down 10 points.
Devin Neal in from 1 yard out. I mean, this would be the greatest moment in Kansas football history, at least in the last
They're not worried about late night at the Fog now. It's all about the football stadium here in Lawrence.
All right. Wow. This is not a result we expected we'd be tracking this late in the first slate of games. But when we return, we'll continue to let you know about that, get you a live number on the Kansas-Oklahoma game. Also, take a look back at some more buy or sell and hold opportunities within the Pac-12. That's next here on VSiN.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
As we welcome you back to Betting Across America, it is a reminder, even though NBA season is just underway, still time to grab your copy of the VSiN Pro Basketball Betting Guide. It has strategies, predictions, and best bets to stay ahead of the odds makers. Our hoops experts, including Jonathan Von Tobel, provide strategy and advice as well as predictions for conference winners, win totals, playoff teams, and player awards. This digital guide is a must-have, so give yourself a betting edge this season and get your copy now for only $9.99. at vsin.com/subscribe. We welcome you back in as it is Betting Across America. Back with Wes Reynolds, I'm Ben Wilson. We continue to see these massive favorites struggle, Wes, and apparently, according to the Twitter machine, the fans are actually now showing up in Lawrence with their team up 17-7, 1:30 to go in the third quarter.
Yeah, students are actually coming in the stadium. I know that very well, being an Indiana football fan. Kansas almost a little bit like the Indiana of the Big 12, where it's like, Oh, crap, dude, we got to get in the game here. We're beating Oklahoma. So now all of a sudden word gets around and, you know, students realize they got tickets, or they realize they didn't buy tickets and they got to wait and they're drunk and, you know, probably pissy about it. So, you know, right now, 17-7, by the way, Oklahoma -2.5, -$1.20 on the end game. Oklahoma now -185 to win this football game in Lawrence. 40.5 the current total. Texas Tech 24-19 over Kansas State. TT -4.5, 61.5 on the total. And now we have, looks like Oklahoma, that's going to change real quick, because they had a kick return almost to the house there, it looks like, but going to be down inside the 10. So Oklahoma finally realizing that they are in an absolute ball game here. So that is your particulars there. And also, Northwestern does miss a field goal. We talked about that going into break. 17-7 now, 7:50 left to go in the third quarter in Ann Arbor.
How many of those Kansas students, would it be their first football game ever attending?
Probably a lot of them, to be honest.
I'm going to set that over under at 93%.
They're right there at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. I mean, there were probably more students there at late night at the Fog than there were for this football game, but probably not anymore. 106 left to go. Is a Kansas player down? We'll try to update that injury.
Looks like first and goal.
Yeah, 17-7 now. Oklahoma's going to have first and goal, minute left in the third.
As a Mizzou alum, I take every opportunity I can to just rip the usual rotting corpse that is the Kansas football program. But today, they are about 16 minutes away from potentially pulling off The largest college football upset we've seen in some time. As we go back, take a look at some of the primetime games that are coming up later. Want to keep you, we've obviously run through a lot of these games that will be starting here in the next hour or so, but as we look forward on the betting card, before maybe you get a chance to dive into some of these games and get a play in before these late line movements come, we talked a little bit to ask Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Network analyst, his thoughts on this game, Wes, but USC goes to Notre Dame. It's not exactly the same hype surrounding Matt Leinart's trip with the Trojans back in the mid-2000s. However, it's Notre Dame who are now. I'm seeing market wide, Wes. This has been bet up from 7 to 7.5. I know you talked earlier, key number of 7, not as prevalent in the college football game. But with the way this thing is moving up here, do you give USC any chance with an interim head coach and so much negativity, at least on the surface, surrounding that program going to Notre Dame today?
I think you have to give them a chance just because this is a rivalry game, like we were talking about with Yogi. Disappointing season out there at Heritage Hall for USC, but it's still USC-Notre Dame. It's still a big deal. And, you know, you got players on both rosters get recruited very hard by both schools. You know, when you see kind of like a finalist list, you know, where the kid gets down to like 5 or 6 schools and they send those images and those graphics out, you often see a Trojan logo and you often see the Notre Dame logo on those lists. So they recruit a lot of the same players. Notre Dame's won 7 of the last 10 meetings. The game actually did not get played last year due to COVID-19 for the first time since World War II. Notre Dame's gotten the better of the series recently. You would certainly trust, from a coaching standpoint, you would have to trust their staff more than the USC staff. USC, obviously, an interim coach. And obviously, you got a staff full of coaches probably going to be looking for jobs, depending on who the new man is running the Trojan program next year. The stats you look at are pretty even with these two teams, but Notre Dame has played the tougher schedule. USC has actually been much better on the road than they have at the old LA Coliseum. They've actually won 8 straight on the road, has USC. So I did not get involved in the spread. I'm kind of looking at this total and very much monitoring it to see if this is going to start to drop. There is some wins expected in a few of these Midwest games, by the way, including in South Bend. So that's obviously something to keep an eye on. The total right now I'm seeing basically market wide is like 59 right now. So it's gone up a little bit from the opener. I missed the opener at -4 where I would have laid it with Notre Dame, but can't really lay it at 7 and a hook now. This is probably an in-game play for me. I want to see how Notre Dame finishes this season as well, because look, they're not going to get in the playoff more than likely unless they get a ton of help. Because the loss to Cincinnati, that's the number 2 team in the country. So it's not like that's a horrible loss, even though it was at home. But you look at Notre Dame on that schedule, there's nothing really that stands out. There's no real, I mean, there are name programs, but there are no ranked schools left on that schedule. So, but Notre Dame still can, I think, get into like a New Year's Six or a big type of game, you know, where there's a lot of money involved. So, you know, I want to see, I want to see how they're going to finish. But basically, this was a pass for me, and this might be an in game. I want to go back to Oklahoma, Kansas.
OU just scores, by the way.
They did. It is 17-14. So now Oklahoma, they have an update of the line, but they did just announce on the Kansas Radio Network. The stadium gates are open. No more tickets are required. If you're in town, come on down.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's straight out of like the 70s. Just, you know what?
I mean,
all rules are off.
That is like the movie Necessary Roughness. Do you remember that movie, The Texas State Armadillos, who had not won a game?
Yep.
Rob Schneider is the radio guy in the booth, where Scott Bakula is the 45-year-old quarterback. And, it's like, hey, we're tied with Texas here. Come on in.
If you had that on your Wes Reynolds reference card today at 12-1, cash that ticket and thank Kansas and apparently their radio network for helping out with that. Wow. Okay, we'll get an updated line on that in a little bit. 17-14, the Kansas lead on Oklahoma. That is absolutely a tremendous.
Even the official website has now said this at KU Athletics, the official Twitter of Kansas University of Kansas Athletics. Gates are open to the east and west sides of David Booth Kansas Memorial Stadium. No ticket required. Show up, be loud, rock chalk.
They're gonna start flowing in there in Lawrence. Wow. Okay. Well, we talked, that USC spot, they're not going to make our list as we do our final buy, hold, sell, as we look at the Pac-12. And for good reason, USC, despite those couple of road wins, West 2-3 in the conference in the Pac-12 South, well out of range here. But as we look at it, we obviously have broken down this game, specifically Oregon and UCLA, and a lot of split opinions amongst the respected handicappers, West, on this spot, Oregon and UCLA. Bruins, though, look, at 7-1, it is at least intriguing, only because you're a half game behind Utah, who have shown a lot of ups and downs this season under their head coach, Kyle Whittingham. Not to, again, make these all seem like this is based on one game, but don't you kind of think, if you think UCLA has a good chance, and we at least at the very minimum would admit that this is probably a coin flip 50-50 game, doesn't the first buy you have to look at here on this list be UCLA at 7-1? Because if they get out of this Oregon game with a win at home, that price might be cut more than in half. It could be down to 2.5, 3-1 if they get a win here, don't you think?
Yeah, I think you could be. I think that might be where the value is. Now, my pick before the season was Arizona State to go ahead and win the Pac-12 South.
And they're 3-1 as well, so there too.
They are, and they did, of course, lose to Utah. Utah kind of controls their own destiny right now. And like we were talking about with Yogi Roth, Utah's back to being Utah. Run the ball, hit the hell out of somebody, force turnovers, don't make mistakes, and that's kind of what Kyle Whittingham has done. And one of the reasons why you saw a lot of Utah picks was because of Kyle Whittingham, because they take on the identity of their coach. They're intense. They don't make mistakes. He knows how to coach these guys up. I went with ASU simply on the talent standpoint because I felt they had the best quarterback in the Pac-12 South with Jaden Daniels. They are now 3-1, so obviously Utah would win the tiebreaker. So I'm kind of sticking with my ASU right now.
4-1, not bad.
But I think if you're shopping around and you're not involved, then clearly you would want to take UCLA. Now, if UCLA loses to Oregon, they are 3-2. I think Oregon, there's not a lot of value there at plus 150.
Yeah, 150.
Now, Oregon, I think, is going to win the North. The only team tied with them are the Beavers, Oregon State.
They didn't even make our list.
Yeah, they've kind of overachieved a little bit. Obviously, Washington looks a mess. Stanford's been up and down. Washington State, who knows what they're going to be now without Nick Rolovich and without a couple other coaches, including their offensive coordinator, offensive line coach. So Oregon seems like I don't want to say lock, but they're in good position to win the North.
Yeah, more than anything for me, Wes, why I would want to buy with UCLA, and it's also, it's a hard schedule for them too, because even if you come out with this win, it would be an incredibly emotional win. You'd have to turn right around and go at Utah. In the Pac-12, where you just expect the chaos here, Wes, and everything to get turned upside down, that's the only reason why. I'd say, look, just gravitate towards that lowest number on the board and give me UCLA at 7-1. When we return, a couple of updates. Wes has an underdog that is now on life support here as Northwestern gets a punt blocked. We're going to will this home for you, Wes. I will update you on that. Get some more big-time previews on the other side as we roll on hour number 3 of Betting Across America.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. This new feature gives you insights on where the money and bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. Data is available for money line, over under, and against the spread bets. Betting splits are another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. I know one game that's got just a slightly lopsided ticket count. That would be Indiana, Wes Reynolds' alma mater at Ohio State later on today as we welcome you back on the show, Betting Across America. I'm Ben Wilson, our producer Jacob Roach, behind the glass, also native of the great state of Indiana. We'll get to that game in a moment, Wes, but a couple quick updates. Oklahoma has the ball back, down by 3, 13:40 to go in the game. If you took Kansas getting the 38.5, this is going to be an absolute coast of a win. But as far as outright here, needless to say, massive implications if Oklahoma were to somehow blow this game. But they've got the ball at the KU 24. They've opened all the gates there in Lawrence. All the fans are flowing in now
and
for
now
free
without
tickets. And
now everybody's going in, and once they go down, it's the, oh, no, we suck again. Another Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider is in all these, college football movies. I don't know what
underrated,
it was.
Underrated, great actor.
He was the necessary roughness radio announcer for the Texas State Armadillos. And by the way, Oklahoma
down
not
to the
quite
two-yard
in
line.
The end zone, into the 2-yard line. So just underway in the fourth quarter, 13:04 left to go. No price yet at BetMGM because there's about to be a score, you would think, here. So
yep.
Oklahoma favoritism will go up. A couple Big Ten games to get you updated on. Illinois just missed a field goal, but they are getting the ball back. It is going to be a three and out for a very sloppy
Penn
State.
What an ugly
game
here. 10-7.
Yeah,
late
Penn State
third.
Might be looking ahead to Ohio State next week. And Penn State, by the way, -7.5 on the in play. 30.5, the current in-game total. Brett Bielema, look, kind of called out his guys, maybe threw some of his players that were not his recruits, granted. They were Lovie Smith guys, saying none of those offensive linemen are really contributing for us. And, you know, might have inspired his guys, said, oh, yeah, we'll show you, you know what. And that's what they're doing right now. 10-7, 5 minutes left to go in the third quarter. Michigan now up 24-7 on Northwestern. Michigan -22.5 in the in-game, 46.5. A big third down here for Northwestern, who would need our man Hall one here. Now is the
it's
time,
Evan Hall
buddy.
Time. Come on.
Now is the time because this did close 24. There were 23.5s also out there.
Yeah, unfortunately, that screen to Ryan Hall. You got to make a man miss. Oh, he
that
tries
was
to
a
go,
terrible throw
tries
though,
to
by
go
Helinski.
Bulldozer. It does not work.
Yeah,
and if we're being honest here, I mean, look, Michigan's been, I think, the right side, Wes. It's probably fair to say. Northwestern's
just hoping to get lucky here because what Michigan's going to do now is they're going to run the football.
Yeah, like Northwestern's had one play today. They 75 yards on one play for Evan Hull. The rest of the game, they have 167 total yards.
That
so not
screen
even...
pass, by the way, it was killing worms there. He had to basically damn near pick it up off the ground and only gained a yard, so Northwestern will be punting.
And I'll just to mention the Illinois-Penn State game, though, we've had back-to-back missed field goals as well, so that's kind of increased just the sloppiness in that game overall. Let's stick with the Big Ten. We'll get to my we gave out my heart plays earlier. We'll get to my smart it's one smart play, and who knows how smart it'll actually be, Wes. But speaking of the heart, your alma mater plays, it's a big number. It's 21 in the market. And you mentioned earlier how like Michael Penix in the past, they've Indiana and Ohio State, they've played some kind of surprisingly really tight games, but he was with the shoulder injury, in the doubtful camp, even going back to Wednesday this week, with in this line 21, there are some 21.5s out there, still 21 at BetMGM as we speak. High line, especially for a primetime conference game, one that is in Bloomington, West. So you think, are you in agreement with that? Too high of a line in this spot?
Yeah, and when this opened, this was about 19, where I think the odds makers kind of split the difference here. If it was more leaning toward Tuttle starting, and Tuttle is going to start today, it would have been closer to 21 on the opener. If it was Penix, it was going to be around 17. And look, you know, I've seen nobody on Indiana in this game. It's been 21, and all I see is how lopsided the ticket count and, you know, maybe even the money count as well is on Ohio State, and yet you're not seeing very many 21.5. So I think if you like Indiana, you can wait because you might start to see him more toward game time. We only have about one out there right now. It's pretty much 21 across the board, including right here at BetMGM. And look, Ohio State after that Oregon game absolutely did regroup. 55 points a game on average on offense. Defense is limiting opponents to 14 a game. Right now, Ohio State's the third choice on the board at 8-1 to win the national championship. Indiana has been an obvious disappointment, but if you look at their losses so far this year, all of them top 10. Well, Iowa has fallen out of the top 10, but just barely. But losing to Iowa, losing to Cincinnati, losing to Penn State, and of course losing to Michigan State. Indiana should have beat Michigan State last week. The defense was absolutely tremendous, held Michigan State to 241. So it wouldn't surprise me to see the defense hold the Buckeyes to well below their point and their yardage total average. But can they score enough? Really, the offense at Indiana and Bloomington needs a massive overhaul. New offensive coordinator. The offensive line has not really performed very well. So, and plus the fact that you've had injuries and, you know, basically they don't block well and they don't protect the quarterback well. That's a bad recipe, last I checked, for an offensive line.
Yes, it is.
That being said, Indiana 8-2 against the spread, their last 10 against the Buckeyes, so they do always bring efforts against these guys, and they actually have played more close games than you think, where you would think everything's going to be a blowout, but Ohio State has actually been better on the road in this series. 5-0 last five against the number as a series visitor, 6-1-1 against the number as Big Ten road favorites of 10 or more points. So, you know, I'm waiting to see what kind of number I will get on Indiana, and I may just take a shot with the Hoosiers just to go contrarian here because now everybody's kind of given up on the season, it seems like. 2-4, probably close to half the crowd. It is going to likely be a sellout in Bloomington.
All right.
But half of that crowd or close to it is going to be Ohio State people. So that's always been the joke around Indiana, that was like the media guide photo day picture, because it's like every seat,
it's
every bleacher is going to be occupied in red.
Or Wisconsin.
So you can't distinguish it when it's not a close-up photo that it's Buckeye red versus Hoosier cream and crimson.
There you go.
So, you know, I think this is now getting to the point where I'd be more interested in taking Indiana. By the way, Indiana this year only has covered one game that was against Idaho, an FCS school. So they are 0-5 against the number against FBS teams. But, you know, those four games I mentioned, Iowa, Cincinnati, Penn State, Michigan State, those teams are 24-2 on the season. Now, they don't get a drop off here with Ohio State. Obviously, that's a step up from the other four opponents they played. But I think if you're getting north of 21, it's worth a small buy on the Hoosiers.
And 12 is your first half line. That's a little intriguing as well. Indiana plus 12 in the first half. So, like, you could tell, Wes, the heart is there.
Well, yeah, that'll probably be your hard play. I'm probably going to end up taking the 21.5 if that shows. You know, this could absolutely be a whitewash. This could absolutely be like 54-17 or 54-10 Ohio State. But, you know, also Ohio State does have the Nittany Lions coming in next week, and we're going to see what the Nittany Lions are doing. By the way, that's going to the fourth quarter in State College. Only 10-7 at Beaver Stadium. Penn State minus 3.5. Plus $1.20, 30.5 the current in-game total. Illinois, by the way, just outside of the Penn State red zone. So, look, this is an Illinois team. It's been a bad season. It's been pretty much downhill ever since they upset Nebraska in that week zero, whatever you want to call it. Late August, the last weekend in August where they beat them as 7-point home underdogs. So, you know, Brett Bielema, I think a lot of people bet against him like, oh, my God, he lost his team because he called these guys out. I think it was kind of like desperation for the old coach. It's like, can we get an effort here? Can we show up? Can we stay with the season? And so far, so good. Obviously, add to that that Penn State has had some very sloppy play.
They have. Yeah, well, look, we're getting down to crunch time in these early kickoffs. One other quick update. Oklahoma does take the lead. Kennedy Brooks run from 1 yard out. So 21-17 now. Oklahoma is back on top.
Sooners minus 10.5.
Kansas. All right, 10.5. Remember, they were minus 8 for the game at halftime, down 10-0. We'll get to, we mentioned my heart plays earlier in the show. How about my, I have one smart play. Again, put the smart in quotes there, Wes. But for my smart play today, I'm going with the game that will also be a little later kick. The Air Force Falcons laying 3, and that 3 is still out there market-wide against San Diego State. And to me, Wes, I've, A, been really, really impressed with an Air Force team who, and both of these teams, by the way, had win totals of 6.5 this year. Mm-hmm. San Diego State and both of these squads coming in, you have a San Diego State team at 6-0, Air Force 6-1. So one of them is going to go over their preseason win total today. I'm just not a believer at all in the San Diego State team, Wes. Ranked 22nd in the country now. 6-0. They caught Utah at a really bad time in that game where quarterback Charlie Brewer was benched for the backup Cameron Rising. Crazy double overtime win for San Diego State, which really has been their marquee win. Got really fortunate to escape a bad San Jose State team with a win last week in overtime. I think this is the spot, Wes, against an Air Force team that's been playing really good football since their loss to Utah State. I think this is the spot where Air Force gets him in Colorado Springs.
Lucas
today.
Johnson, by the way, will start for San Diego State. Basically, the storyline of this game, irresistible force versus immovable object. Air Force, number one rushing offense. San Diego State, number one rushing defense.
And it's a total, as you see, 39. 39 in a college football game. That is my my smart play of the day. We'll see if it works out. All right, we've got these early games coming down to the wire. We'll see what happens. Can Oklahoma stave off what will be an insane upset at the hands of Kansas? We'll check out some other lines with other big favorites as well when we return right here on Betting Across America.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Discover what winning feels like at BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. Register using code VSIN100 to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on any college football game and either team scores a touchdown. No matter what your gridiron game is, BetMGM is always ready for the action. Enjoy parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds, specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on any college football game and either team scores a touchdown. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com. For terms and conditions, must be 21 years or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. We are back on Betting Across America. Some of the early games coming down to the wire, including in Big Ten country. We're going to go out and speak with Damon Benning here in just a second. Just the update, though, from the Penn State-Illinois game was Illinois thought they had taken the lead. Arthur Sitkowski, touchdown in the flat to Daniel Barker, but the big celebrating offensive lineman was well downfield, and it was not meant to be.
That was a late flag, though. Artie Sitkowski already had his headset on, waiting for them to kick the extra point, so that touchdown does come off
still
the board. In-state college is 10-7, so Penn State will have a couple more cracks to see if they can take the lead, but, kind of a questionable call. I think that was a very late flag thrown by that Big Ten crew. So now Illinois all the way back to about its 30-yard line, second down and 24.
Classic second and 24 from the 29. They get stuffed for no gain with the flag down. So what a great way to segue into our next guest, David Betting, an outstanding analyst for the Big Ten Network. Always kind enough to give us a few minutes as we suggest you give him a follow at Damon Benning. Damon, we entered the show coming into today thinking, all right, look, this card, not great. Will we see maybe one potential upset or close call? And it certainly has delivered up to that promise with Oklahoma in a dogfight against Kansas. And this Penn State team has really looked sloppy and not up to the task today. What have you made of this game so far? As Illinois, look, they've given the Nittany Lions everything they can handle in what is still now a 10-7 game here.
Mr. Holt. Game. You had Illinois, who hopefully they weren't listening to anything that their coach said this week in any sort of press conferences, as he kind of threw their talent under the bus and their former head coach and his recruiting prowess. And Penn State kind of in the classic look ahead spot, coming, off a little sleepy week where they had a chance for prep after the Iowa week. And you're thinking, all right, they should be a little more well rested. Let's see what we get at the quarterback spot. And they've been pretty uninspired. They just give up the big penalty there on an automatic first down on a team that you feel like had no clue how to get a second and 24. They get a cheapie. So Illinois knocking on the door with a chance to take the lead here. Michigan kind of sleepwalking. This could turn out to be a very interesting game. How about Wisconsin being favored on the road at Purdue as Illinois just scores? So,
Damon, we might have a little delay here. So the second touchdown on this drive.
Oh, I see the flag. There it is.
Yeah, the second touchdown on this drive. Illinois runs it in, so still 10-7. By the way, Michigan did get an interception deep in Northwestern territory. Two-point conversion not good. Now 33-7 on Northwestern.
Need the back door, Wes.
Northwestern going to have to come in the back door for certain here. But, Damon, let's get back to what you were talking about, and that's the matchup here this afternoon. Wisconsin and Purdue. Wisconsin now a 3.5-point road favorite. And, look, we know the offense has had problems, but the defense is as good as ever. Number two in the country in total defense. But what do you make of Purdue, because in the past they haven't been able to get there in these spots, off a big win. They've always kind of come up short. Do you think today is going to be different, though, against the Badgers?
Yeah, if I'm just at first blush, if you're playing the line and not the matchup, you're thinking unranked versus ranked, usually a dead sign to be taking the unranked team, right? Why would Wisconsin be favored? And I like them in this spot. I don't love it at 3.5. I liked it at 3. I still would probably take it. But if you're Purdue, listen, you don't run the ball well. You average about 415 yards a game. 325 of those come on the ground. So you are who you are offensively. The thing Wisconsin's going to figure out, Purdue's really good defensively. Mm-hmm. They're top 15 in the country in total defense. And you think to yourself, wait a minute. Did Holt come back and is he patrolling the sidelines in one of his 35 previous stops for Purdue? No, they've started over on the defensive side of the ball a couple of years removed from a guy like Nick Holt. And they're playing really good defense in West Lafayette. Points will be at a premium. Gun to head, I had to play it. I like Wisconsin simply because I don't believe they have any business being favored and you'd think that the public would be all over Purdue.
Yeah, I'm the same way on that game, Damon. I laid money line on Wisconsin. But to your point, that Purdue defense, it's amazing. They were in a 3-4 last year. They get rid of Bob Diaco, go back to the 4-3, put big George Karlaftis down on the three-point stance where you can go kill the quarterback and stop the runners in the backfield. And all of a sudden, Purdue in 1 year has a really good defense.
Yeah, the Diaco experiment, being a former Nebraska, guy, very familiar with Bob Diaco, some of the classic press conferences and terminologies he would use. And tell you what, Purdue hasn't been able to find their way in the conference under Brohm in terms of being able to play good defense. If there's two things that have eluded him thus far in a kind of an up and down tenure, it is consistency on the defensive side for his staff. Three coordinators in now, and his inability to find a run game seems to maybe have figured out one, but he's going to have to run it at least a little bit today to take some of the pressure off of Bell in that offense.
Again, Damon Benning, outstanding Big Ten Network analyst, giving us a few minutes here on Betting Across America. Just to tie up the thought on Wisconsin-Purdue, that line, I am seeing a couple of shops now back down, some late buyback coming to the home team in the Boilermakers, Wisconsin -3 here at a couple of shops. Damon, I know Wes Reynolds, our Indiana alum here, he was trying to delay the inevitable, us talking about this Indiana-Ohio State game for tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and do it here. You have the Buckeyes, though, laying a huge number in a primetime spot on the road in Bloomington. The number is as high as 21, might see some 21 and a halfs eventually with how heavily bet and how one-sided this game has been all week. I asked Wes in the last segment if he felt like this line was a little too high. What are your thoughts on a line like this for the Buckeyes on the road?
Yeah, a little too high for me, especially with the public all over, you know, Ohio State, a very publicly bet team, and they're trending in the right direction. If you're Ohio State, I mean, it's all right there in front of you because it's best case scenario. You're starting to play well. Your defense is playing better. Stroud is coming of age. Michigan is good. Michigan State is good. Two benchmarks that you can take care of on your resume if you're looking to get back into the big title hunt with one loss. So everything in front of Ohio State. Here in Indiana, you can't get good quarterback play. Tom Allen has guys coming in and out of the lineup, can't settle in on the injury front, and he's come under a little bit of scrutiny. It's kind of weird. He went from kind of the golden boy feel-good story, is this the year for Indiana, to, what's going on? Is this the schedule? Penix Jr. can't keep from giving it to the other team. What's going to happen at the quarterback spots? But I like Indiana in this spot. I think it's just a little bit too many. This may actually turn out to be a pretty good game. I could see them keeping it within two scores or maybe a late field goal or something like that to get it in the 17 range. But I like the Hoosiers tonight. I would eat all 20, 21 of those points.
Yeah, I'm with you, Damon. And it kind of is, you know, it's one thing with Indiana. They can never seem to get both sides of the ball right. During the Kevin Wilson era, very good offensively, couldn't stop a nosebleed. Now you've got a really good defense, and they can't move the ball at all with the injured quarterbacks. The offensive line has been a factor as well. So I'm with you. I think it's partially schedule, and it's partially, look, it's a Big Ten East. It's a Big Ten. You need better dudes, especially at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, if you can't block folks, the league has figured this out. Coach Frost has. I think P.J. Fleck has figured it out. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to win up front. It's about big, strong offensive linemen and guys on the defensive line that can neutralize the run game. The Big Ten, perhaps more than any conference in the country, has become the age-old adage of stopping the run and being able to run the football.
And Damon Benning, our guest on Betting Across America. By the way, Illinois is, after all that, two touchdowns taken off the board of the penalty. They're lining up for a 37-yard field goal. They already missed one before. What could possibly happen as the kick is actually up and good? So tie game there. Damon, we'll let you get back to watching this incredible barn burner there in at State College. I know you. That's all you want to be watching right now, right? We appreciate
it. I can't keep my eyes off of this Army-Wake Forest game.
That, too. That too.
First to 60 wins.
Yeah. 56-42 Wake in the fourth quarter now.
Six scores of five plays or less in this one? What is going on? It's 49-42, and they're nowhere near being done.
Live total of 107.5, by the way. So, David, as always, we appreciate the time. Have a great rest of your college football Saturday. We'll check in with you again soon.
Hey, appreciate it. Love the show. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Damon.
Absolutely. Thank you. All right, other updates.
Yeah, don't
well.
Take triple option team games under. I think everybody
I guess
wants to.
I guess not.
56 to 42, 12 minutes left to go. By the way, Oklahoma now 28-17 over Kansas. Cinderella, the glass slipper's not going to fit for the Jayhawks on this
afternoon. I guess
afternoon.
Not. 28-17. If you bet second half, Oklahoma, they were down 10, laying 18 second half. Well, now you're covering, so it looks like it worked out in the end. When we return, we will welcome in the third member of our crew for the next 3 hours, Adam Burke from our Mandalay Bay Studios. That's next on VSiN.